On today's show, we're talking crowdfunding for filmmakers, right here on No Rest for the Weekend. Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend, the show where we talk to the creators of independent film and series. I'm your host, Victoria Oliver. Financing your film or series project has always been a challenge, but now crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo have given filmmakers a new way to realize their vision. John Tragonis is Indiegogo's head campaign strategist for film and the author of Crowdfunding for Filmmakers Second Edition. Recently, our producer Jason Godby had a chance to catch up with John and ask him what it takes to make a successful crowdfunding campaign.
Hello, it's Jason for No Rest of the Weekend, and I'm here with crowdfunding guru John Tragonis. Welcome, John.
Hey, thanks, Jason, for having me. Really excited to be here.
Awesome. So thanks for coming in. I want to start right off the bat. You've written a book on crowdfunding. You work with Indiegogo. How did this happen? What is your origin story? How did you come to crowdfunding?
Wow, that's a big story. So I'm gonna shrink it down as much as possible. So I'll probably take about 20 minutes. The origin story is I'm a writer, filmmaker, and 1 year, I think back in 2010, I want to say, I was about to make my 8th short film, and I needed some money, or I wanted a little extra money, and I heard about this thing called crowdfunding, and my initial thought was this ain't gonna work. So I'm going to try it out because I just don't believe that people are going to give me money to make my little dinky short film. So I set up a campaign on Indiegogo, launched it, and I raised over $5,000 over the course of a few months, and I was floored. When the campaign was over, I started getting people contacting me on Twitter and all these other platforms asking me what I did. You know, how did you do it? How did you raise the money? And then I would tell them, and I realized I was using a lot of my time just telling them what I did, that I wasn't being creative enough anymore because I was spending all my time helping others and I wasn't charging them because the thought of charging someone who's asking about crowdfunding just didn't appeal to me because they don't have any money. So I decided, you know, actually my fiance made a joke. She's like, well, you know, you should probably write a book or something. And I'm like, nobody's going to read a book on that. She says, well, you don't know unless you try it. So I pitched it on Twitter to Focal Press, I believe. And they got me, well, through that, I eventually got in touch with the publisher that would eventually publish me, which was Michael Wiese Productions, because they jumped on board a lot quicker. To say yes, and then basically in a week I had a signed book deal, and we were ready to go, and I was writing, wrote the book in 6 months. All throughout that time, I was still tweeting about crowdfunding, putting advice online about it, and ultimately, right before the book got published, Indiegogo caught wind of me, and I had worked with them in the past. I'd done speaking gigs with the CEOs and whatnot in the past. And they basically said, like, hey, you're giving really great advice on Twitter. Why don't you do it for us? Because it's better than what we're currently giving, and we should probably pay you for this. And I was like, well, let's do that. And that was about 5 years ago this month. So this marks my 5-year anniversary with Indiegogo and 2 editions of the book. It's been good.
One thing I wanted to ask you, and I think people are curious about, if they haven't crowdfunded before, is what is the process like? When a project comes to you at Indiegogo, what do you do with it? What's your process? How do you work with the various filmmakers and content creators?
Yeah, that's a great question. And not a lot of people know, right? Because they think like, oh, I'm just going to set up my campaign on Indiegogo and then I'm going to run it, and they don't even know what that means. So basically my job at Indiegogo is a campaign strategist for creative campaigns, which means I work with filmmakers, comic book creators, game designers, developers, etc., and help them piece together a campaign that's going to stand the test of time and really attract an audience that they may not already have. So it's a lot of advice giving, and the fact is, if you follow the advice, you do well. And that's if I'm lucky enough to connect with the filmmakers or the creators early, like before they launch, because then that's where we can kind of kill all the misconceptions about, oh, this is what crowdfunding is, this is what it's not. We can get rid of all that. A lot of people just don't get creative enough with their campaigns as they do in their actual games or in their actual films that they're making. They just put on this tie and they button themselves up, and it's like, no, you know, money is a part of it, but money is such a mediocre part of it. You know, you got to really engage the audience. So it's really me reminding them to be the person that they are so that they can run the campaign. Now, sometimes I don't get to talk to them early enough, and I see the campaigns online, I see them on Twitter, I check it out, and if it's doing well, and usually well means they've hit a certain threshold, that threshold's about 30%. If you get 30% of your funding and you're pushing out interesting content and the campaign looks good, I can then look at it, say, you know what, this looks cool, let me reach out to these people, and I will reach out and I will throw a couple of bits of advice to help them get to the next hump.
And just in general, can you tell us what kind of advice you've given people, or like what are some do's and don'ts of crowdfunding? Because I know there's probably more don'ts. I know that, you know, when we talked about this before, we had interviewed John for our blog, you talked a lot about incentives and because that's what I was wondering. That's probably where your initial doubt was, too. It's like, okay, so you're going to give me money for this project. What am I getting out of it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, investments are great, but, you know, investing in a film is like investing in magic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so if you're working with a campaign, what kind of strategy? Give me some sample strategies that you would give people.
Yeah, totally. And that's the other interesting thing is, like, you know, I'm always careful, like, oh, no, it's not an investment, because when they say investment, it's like, that's easy to invest in anything, even a film, because you could possibly get money. Here, we're offering, like, you know, T-shirts and CDs and DVDs, like, you know, and see, I'm old school. I'm talking like physical media. People are like, oh, digital download, because I don't have to pay for that. And that's part of it. So these are the incentives, what I call the incentives or the perks or the rewards. They're definitely a part of crowdfunding, and you need to offer those things. But we're not buying into just getting, you know, your soundtrack or your poster for the film. We're buying into you as a person. So that's one of the pieces of advice, is you got to be you. You got to be authentically you. We are giving our money to you, not to this project. As cool as it may be, here's the little dirty secret. Everybody's got a cool project. And you can angle it to make a not-so-cool project seem cool. What's going to angle it? The person. That's the person that we're giving that money to. So that's number one. A lot of the other strategy advice that I give, in my book I talk about the three ins of crowdfunding. The incentives is one of them that we mentioned. The invitation, which is the campaign video. You've got to have a good campaign video. You've got to be in your campaign video. Even crowdfunding's been around for now about 10 years, roughly. You know, you've still got to be in that video if you are creating something in the creative genres like film and games, etc. You've got to show us who you are. We've got to get into your passion. So the invitation is, the pitch video, people still call it to this day, which irks me, because you're not pitching me. You're asking me to be a part of this thing. And a lot of that advice is me convincing people to change their mindset about the fact that they are, quote, asking for money. They are not asking for money. They are inviting us to be a part of something bigger. So those are the first two ins. The third in is the interactions, which is I used to call it promotion. And promotion, as we all know, is like one-sided. It's like, oh, support my campaign. Yeah, that might have been good back in the day. In 2018, that doesn't fly. Everybody's got a campaign. Everybody wants money. Everybody wants to get the audience. You've got to interact and talk with us. You've got to earn it, basically.
What I would say, too, is like in terms of, because there are many, many projects out there, it seems.
Oh,
I mean, I see a ton of stuff on Facebook and Twitter. Give me like a brief, like, give me like the state of the union in terms of crowdfunding. Like, are you having more projects come to you per year?
Yep.
And like, where is the money coming from these days? Mm-hmm. Where is if you're lining up a project, are you like, even on a platform, because there's, you know, there's Indiegogo, there's Kickstarter, there's Seed and Spark, there's more and more of these platforms coming up. How much competition are people dealing with right now? Like, is it is it getting saturated like a lot of the other spaces out there?
Yep, absolutely. That is the state of the union. It is saturated. It's probably oversaturated at this point because, again, I'm representing crowdfunding in general, but I represent also one company. Now, you multiply that by three that are well-known in the space, I mean, then you've got just a ridiculous amount of people all vying for the backer's attention. So now there's competition. Back then there wasn't. Back then there was community. It was 100% community. You launched a campaign, that was a big deal. Even people who were campaigning for their own films would stop for a minute, promote yours, even though it went completely against everybody's common sense of like, hey, wait a minute, you're asking for money, quote unquote. You know, why are you now helping me? That's how I learned that it's about community, because I had a bunch of people who were running campaigns promote mine. And then I ended up promoting theirs, or I gave to one, you know, because it was community. Now it's competition in a lot of ways. There's still a community. The support indie film community on Twitter especially is huge and it's awesome. But within that, there is still that element of I've still got to get you, Jason, to give me your $50 or your 25, whatever you can afford, right? I'm like, everybody got 50, give it. No, but, you know, I'm trying to get that from you, but there's 50 other people trying to get that money. And now you, as a backer, have to become savvy. You have to now be judgmental and say, well, John's my friend, but Jim over here or Samantha there, I like their movies better. I like their projects. So now we're seeing a shift where it's not 100% about us, the people making the movies. Now it's like, okay, well, I've got money. What do you got?
And is that like, I mean, that's part of the advice I'd imagine that you would give also in terms of like saying, hey, this is the field out there. This is the competition that you're dealing with. And, you know, of course, anything in independent media is going to be very competitive.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're dealing with right now. And it's, I mean, it's hard enough when you've made the movie, it's hard enough to get it seen, let alone have anyone, because there's a big difference between I'll like it, I'll retweet it, maybe I'll even watch it, but I'll, you know, but I'll buy it, I'll give money. That's a big step.
Yeah,
you know,
it's huge. The others are easy, like everything's free. And then once you're, but you're not even asking them to buy it ahead of time. Some cases you are, but you're asking them to be a part of it before you even might have a script. Just you have the seedling of an idea, and then you have to try to convince them that this seed is going to grow, but it can only grow with their help. You know, and again, that worked years ago really well. Now, yeah, that's great. It's a great monologue, but now we want cool incentives. We want you got to bring us to the plate. You got to show us that this is really going to be something good. And it's not just because of the competition factor. It's, as I was saying before, the backers have been forced to evolve and become savvy. They have to do their research now. Everything is reconnaissance.
Are you finding there are more or less backers these days? Are we getting, is it, you know, like, am I getting fewer amounts from more people, or am I going to a few people for more amounts?
I think that's a great question. I've never been asked that question. Thank you. The way I'm seeing it, so there's the super backer group, which I'm skeptical that actually exists. 100% where like they're just waiting on platforms to see what's cool and they just throw money at it. Now, I'm sure there's a few of them, but there's not this massive group of them that every filmmaker is hoping to God to get, you know, get in front of. You know, that's a little bit of a myth, but there are people who do have money who do kind of check out the sites and look around here and there for something cool to put in and put in 50, 100 bucks and then try to find something else and do that. But really, that's the minority, right? The majority is people who have 25 bucks, 30 bucks tops. They want to fund a cool movie. They're doing it for the heart. That's the core audience. They're film lovers. And let's, you know, again, I work with like all kinds of creators, but let's stick to film, right? You know, that area, that group of people, they're film lovers, and we gotta get them with the fact that we're an indie filmmaker and we have a really cool idea that's not just cool because I think so and mom and dad think so. It's legitimately cool, you know, because here's the idea. And you pitch it to them and then let them be the judge with their dollars. So I think the backers, how many backers there are, I think it's definitely larger the ones that are going to give between $1 and $20. The super backer groups and the backers that are kind of repeat backers probably has shrunk a little bit.
Have you ever spoken to the backers and asked them, like, what their motivation is behind these? Yep. You know, you talk about the love of film. I don't know if I'm going to spend money just because I love film. Like, I'll spend money to go watch a film. But, you know, and I'm and myself as an independent filmmaker, content creator, I'm, you know, for the most part, I'm saving my money for myself and my own projects. But what's the mentality behind, like, if I were to, if you were to give me like a psychological profile of a backer, like, and I don't even know if you could do this. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
No.
What are they thinking? Like, what's the mentality behind? I want to fund that.
Like I said, and these are great questions. I'm happy they're coming up because it's important. Because I think about backers a lot, and especially like the backer is really the most important person because without them, crowdfunding platforms don't exist. Our films don't exist. Crowdfunding doesn't exist without backers, people who are doing it. First and foremost, yes, they're still doing it because they love it. Honestly, like that's the one thing that I hear from a lot of backers. Oh, I thought that's cool project. Period. You know, now sometimes they don't think it's cool. They think the person's cool or the person's interesting or they're just charismatic. A lot of people were giving to me back in the day because of my charisma. I was like on my little video, just being me, just being a wild and crazy, you know, person that wanted to make another film. And that's what a lot of people gave. They didn't really care what I was making the film about. They ended up liking it, hopefully. But that's the key thing. Now they're becoming, again, my favorite word here is savvy, because now they're getting accosted not just by other filmmakers in their community, but they're getting accosted by their friends, by their families who are running other campaigns. So now they're getting all this and they have to choose, because there's only so much money that even a super backer has. So they have to really make the right decisions. And what is the right decision? Sometimes, most of the time, it's, is the movie cool? Is it going to be something that I want on my resume? Half the time, the savvy backer is a person who has an IMDb list of credits for films, and they're doing it primarily so they can go out and say, I'm a producer of 15 films. It's an easy way to get it. You pay, you know, $100 to $1,000 to $5,000, you become producers, you know, in that sense. The other, outside of that, the other thing that they're probably, if they're smart, they're probably looking at something along the lines of what that person could possibly accomplish with the film later. So they're looking at, you know, they know something about film. They're not just film lovers. They know something about it. They can kind of see, oh, well, this person's making a vampire film. Vampires are coming back in 2 years by the time this film gets made. So they're smart. I'm not going to put in 25. I'm going to put in 150. Then lastly, sometimes it is about the perks. You give me a good-looking pin as a savvy backer myself, I will jump on that thing for about $15 to $25. Easy. No thoughts, no questions asked.
And because I can see that too. It's like you mentioned, because so if you see a project, you know, oh, you know what, that's viable. I want to put my name on that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and now I'm listed as a producer of a feature or of this, who I think a hot director's, you know, first, second, third short film. This person's going to remember me. This is another follow up question, but like, do people ever get directly involved with the productions? Do they ever start out by, you know, sort of with dollars and end up actually pitching in and working on the film?
Absolutely. I've heard a lot of stories because I get to know some backers and then also a lot of filmmakers, and I come across them a lot. So I definitely know a couple of people who have started out as backers. They've been on the set. Sometimes they start out by paying enough money where they get to be a zombie on the set of a zombie film, you know, and they get to do the makeup, and then they realize, man, I really like being on a set, you know, I'm going to keep doing this, and they kind of go off, quit their job sometimes, and go off and join the circus of filmmaking. So it definitely does happen, and that's also an inspirational aspect of crowdfunding, where it's like, you could potentially, priced properly, and, you know, give people experiences that really draw them into not only your world, but a bigger world that they might never have thought they could possibly be a part of.
Give me briefly just some, give me a couple of examples of campaigns that you've worked on that have been successful, maybe a little bit about why they've been successful.
Yeah, totally. I know a lot, and I always draw a blank because I've worked on a lot. I've definitely in the years I've worked on over 1,000 for sure since I've been doing this. But recently, a couple of my favorites have been the Goblins animated campaign. It's a very popular web comic, and these guys wanted to get together and put some major voice talent behind it and do an animated series. So they raised a good chunk of funding, and animation is very expensive. You know, as we all kind of know, a minute of that stuff could be a I don't even want to think of how much money that could be. But yeah, so they say they ran an awesome campaign, and you know, again, what made that one do really well, and what made another one called it's a documentary for the Ren and Stimpy show called The Happy Happy Joy Joy. You know, obviously they have built-in fan bases, you know, but you've still got to attract those fan bases. These are independent projects, you know, not run by a studio, so it's kind of, you know, that you have to kind of tackle the idea of, well, I'm going after the fans, but I don't necessarily have the massive email list or this and that to use. I have to find them on Facebook and Twitter and in groups and talk to them and get them to, you know, say, hey, you loved the show when you were a kid. Well, here's a documentary that'll get you deeper into what went on behind the scenes. You know, that's kind of those were kind of exciting to watch because of the way they used images and promotion to really bring in the audience. And there was another campaign called Severed Silence, which was a horror film. And that's one of my favorite ones. It raised, I think it was like $25,000. So it was definitely on the more modest side of like a lot of campaigns that I work with. The other ones were, I think one was 99,000 or 97,000. The other one was like over 100,000, raised. But this was closer to my heart. Just in the simple fact that they're really independent filmmakers. They've got some talent that people know, but they really engage that audience again time and time again. If you're engaging the audience in the proper way, the money that you raise becomes nothing more than a byproduct. Everybody tries to put the focus on, oh, crowdfunding, I need the money. But they keep forgetting that in the word crowdfunding, the crowd comes before the funding. It's one of my favorite things to say because it's the absolute truth. And if you do it the reverse, I promise you, you're not going to make a dime.
And it also helps to, like you said, if you're working on something that's affiliated with a known property that already has a crowd built in.
Yep.
Well, thanks so much. We got to wrap up.
Yeah,
But where can we find you on the web?
Yeah, just find me on Twitter is where I hang out most. It's my last name, Trigonis, on Twitter. I've gotten off Facebook, so you can't find me there, or you can, but it won't be me. And then Instagram, same thing, Trigonis. And you can also check me out on my website, thejohntrigonis.com.
Thank you once again for joining us. I'd like to thank our guest, John Trigonis. If you'd like to see more from Behind the Rabbit Productions, check out our website, btrp.nyc. On behalf of Jason Godby and myself, thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.